The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Excuse my voice. If you hear any nasal congestion, I have a cold, which I guess is just par for the course when you have a toddler and you're pregnant and it's still the winter. But I have been so excited to release this episode with Marielle Bouquet. She is incredible. She is a holistic psychologist trained at Columbia, and she is also a professor, a sound bath meditation healer, and an intergenerational trauma expert. She has appeared on Good Morning America and in Vogue, Self and Glamour. She's originally from the Dominican Republic, and now she lives in the U.S. She has written an incredible book called Break the Cycle, which is a guide to healing intergenerational trauma. And that's what we're talking about today. So I know that this conversation is going to be a treat for everyone listening. It was raw. It was vulnerable. It hits on so many of the things that I have personally been going through for the last couple years. And I know from speaking to all of you that many of you can relate as well. So you're going to love it. You're going to love her. Check her out on Instagram. Get her book. And also, if you haven't checked out our 21-day March challenge in my new meditation platform, then you gotta join us. It's only $11. And we have so much going on. I still can't even believe that this platform exists. This is where I'm putting so much of my heart and soul at the moment. You will find a meditation, affirmation, pep talk, a bonus podcast type of thing for every single day of the month. We also have hundreds of other recordings, all for the same price that I mentioned a few seconds ago. It is pretty amazing, and I feel like you guys have to get in on it. You will absolutely love the walking meditations, the journaling prompts, intention setting exercises, the Pleiadian wisdom transmissions, which are my favorite, and so much more. So you can join at the link in the show notes, or you can also find it through my website by just going to the membership tab. I am so excited to hear all of your thoughts. It is not too late to join. We started on Monday. Most of the meditations are super short, so you can even catch up now. You could even catch up a week from now. So you will be absolutely perfect whenever you join. And now let's get into this conversation with the amazing Marielle Bouquet. Well, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I've been diving into your work all day, and I'm super interested in this topic of healing trauma, but specifically healing through the generations of trauma. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear how you got started.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the work itself started with me being a clinician at, I used to work at Columbia Medical Center, and I also got trained there. Like, most of my training was in that institution. And I would actually be like in these team meetings where we would be talking about our work just to debrief and say like, hey, you know, maybe you should try this, right? Like, all psychiatrists and psychologists. And the stories of the people that we were working with all felt like they had like this similar flavor, like, oh, well, this happened to my client, but also to her mother and also to her grandmother. And I kept feeling like there's something that we're not naming here. And I feel like we need to find a way to like have a word or language for what we're seeing. So really the work itself kind of got sparked there. But the way that the work evolved and the way that it took me even through my own like analysis of like what's going on in my family was not something I expected. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how can you not look at the lives and the emotional pain of other people that you work with and then not turn that into looking at your own and looking at yourself? So it definitely took that turn as well. But it started really in, you know, the medical center.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been a therapist?
So I've been a therapist for, it's going on 5 years now. Postdoc is 5 years. So that means like after I graduated, but we actually train at the start of our program. So I have been working with clients for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Because you're very, you're so much younger in person than I would have guessed. And I mean, it's not like I was stalking you or anything or thinking that you looked old. That was not it. It's just I see you in person and you're so youthful. And it's amazing to see someone of a younger generation bringing this stuff forward.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I pride myself in being able to talk about these really hard conversations being my age. And I also think I look younger than what I truly am.
Okay, so how old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so I did think you were younger, but definitely still very young. Mm-hmm. I mean, 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. And not a lot of people that are in my age group have been like really in the work that I do. So I know it is a little bit unconventional for someone like me to actually dive into this work. And I actually, like, even when I was in school, I felt like I was a little bit out of place. And even like when I go to conferences, like professional conferences, I feel my youth.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, it's very visible to me.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, imagine your wisdom 20 years from now having started this when you did. And it's amazing. I think a lot of younger people do relate to having a younger therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people that approach me about how my work has impacted them are individuals that are in the millennial and Gen Z category of life.
How did they find you? Because you do have a big social media presence.
Yeah, mostly through social media. So a lot of people tend to find me there. Or, you know, one thing that I get a lot, someone forwarded me your video about dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, because it's probably so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you start sharing these practices on social media? Were you already a therapist? Was it just for fun? And then it kind of took off?
You know, it actually started when I was still a student. And the reason why I started going on social media was because I felt like there is so much information that I know because I'm in these walls of academia and this medical center. And a lot of the people that are in my life, like I would actually go home and I would talk to my family about it or my friends about it. They would have no idea what I was talking about. It was like because back then, I'm talking maybe 7 years ago, we were still very heavy in the mental health stigma arena, like very much in the thick of it. And people weren't talking about, hey, you know what? Like those symptoms, they kind of sound like depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be something that you may want to look into. You may want to talk to a therapist. Those conversations were so like such an entry point conversation into mental health. And when I was having them at home or in friend circles, it felt so out of place because we weren't having them enough in society. And so I was like, you know what? I'm learning so much. Why not bring that into a place where I can share it in a way that people find it accessible? Like, oh yeah, I can see that. I can digest that. That feels relatable. Why not take the research that's all heavy and dense and like has all this like, you know, clinical language in it and translate it into something that can be useful for the masses? And so that's why I started back then.
Wow, that's so amazing. So would you say when it comes to your day, do you spend more time sharing on social media? Like, is that a big part of your job or is it more in practice with your clients?
Well, I will say I love research.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love conducting research. I love digesting it. So I spend a lot of my day actually nerding out and reading And
me too.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It is. And if I could be like a lifelong reader and a lifelong learner, that to me is like the best life. And so luckily, you know, a lot of the ways that my life has been orchestrated lately, especially with now being a first-time author and being in the authorship world, it is around a lot of reading, which I really love. Mm-hmm. So most of my day is capturing a lot of what new science is telling us, which is like rapidly progressing in the area, especially of trauma, and trying to translate that into tangible bits. So a lot of research, a lot of reading. And then the shorter part of my day has to do with, you know, meetings or getting myself like organized around how do I translate this and then actually recording.
Mm-hmm. So do you still see people one-on-one?
You know, I actually transitioned from being a clinician full-time back in November of this past year because the authorship journey was so demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be called to actually speak somewhere like in a moment's notice. And that's not very good for someone who's working with folks who are in a state of trauma because mm-hmm. they need consistency and stability. And I didn't think that it would be like a good fit to be constantly speaking about trauma everywhere and then having to move clients' appointments. So I thought the most kind and ethical thing to do would be to transition from that line of work until this authorship journey kind of phases out a little bit, because right now I'm in the height of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I have to ask you, because I just need to know this about everyone. When's your birthday? So what's your zodiac sign?
So May 1st.
Uh-huh.
And
Taurus.
Taurus. And a true Taurus. Mm-hmm. Like, I am super earthy, very grounded, and incredibly stubborn.
Yeah, as Tauruses are. My best friend is a Taurus, and there's nobody more stubborn. It's so true. But so grounded, like mm-hmm. you said, luxury, good food, like we were talking about, totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. And do you know what your moon and your rising signs are?
I'm rising Virgo.
Ooh, double Earth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Virgo, Taurus.
Yes.
Okay, so you're triple Earth. No wonder it's so grounding to be in your presence.
Uh-huh.
I'm the opposite. I'm all air. So to be with people who are very earthy feels so good.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I tend to feel very balanced, like very yin and yang with people that are very, mm-hmm. very like, you know, air based. So that to me is, you know,
it's a good combination. It's a good duo.
Yeah.
Okay, I am so excited to talk to you guys about Bond Charge. This is a fave of mine. You've probably seen me talking about it just about everywhere because they are the best. Bond Charge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. They are founded on science and inspired by nature, and all Bond Charge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern-day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products help you to sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones. The list is endless. I don't know about you, but every single one of those things speaks to me deeply. And also, they have blue light glasses, red light therapy, EMF management, and circadian-friendly lighting. They will help you naturally address the issues of our modern-day way of life effortlessly and with maximum impact. So one of my favorite products from Bond Charge is their infrared sauna blanket. The sauna blanket works by raising your heart rate to that of physical exercise, so it burns calories while you relax. You can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. Sweating helps flush out heavy metals and other toxins. It's so easy to set up. It takes less than a minute. It heats up really fast. And you can enjoy a session for 30 or 40 minutes while relaxing, watching TV, meditating, anything. And it's very low EMF, which is amazing. I know that you're going to love it. They ship worldwide in rapid time.
Go to bondcharge.com/balanced and use coupon code balanced to save 15% off. That's bondcharge.com/balanced and use coupon code balanced to save 15%. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, know that you're not alone. Thinning is normal, but it's not openly talked about. And going through it can feel so lonely, isolating, frustrating. Join the over 1 million people that are doing something about it with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. It is a physician-formulated formula with drug-free ingredients. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking the supplement for 6 months. And I have seen so many improvements. I've been taking it postpartum. I think everyone is quite aware that postpartum, it is just super common to have thinning hair. I've specifically had thinning hair around my temples. Like, I pull my hair back into a bun, and let's just say I don't have the hairline that I used to have before becoming a mom, but Nutrafol has helped so much. You can see results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker and healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BALANCED. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BALANCED. That is Nutrafol.com, promo code BALANCED.
So something I was super excited to talk to you about, because we talk on this podcast a lot about being the pattern breaker in our family. I feel like that's me. I have come into this world. I didn't choose it, but I am the breaker of the patterns. So I've done everything from plant medicine, which is where I really explored intergenerational trauma for the first time and really saw, oh my God, what my ancestors went through. So can you talk to us about being pattern breakers?
Yes. You know, my favorite people are people that break patterns, that are cycle breakers, that are really committed to the courageous work of disrupting whatever pain has been a part of their lineage, because it's really hard work. And sometimes we don't give that credit, right? Like to those of us that are doing in-depth work to really carve out all of the wounds that have been like a part of, you know, what's been transmitted forward through the generations. So I'm excited that I'm speaking to a fellow cycle breaker. Mm-hmm. And cycle breaking most often is something that, you know, people have to choose to be a cycle breaker, but some people are in essence chosen. Like, some people feel like there is literally no way that I could live in this world other than being that person that disrupted these cycles. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot, knowing the pain that I experience every day and the ways that I feel that this emotional discomfort, in addition to also understanding that there's been pain that in the people that have been a part of my life, or people that I haven't necessarily known but I know are part of my lineage, and that I have an opportunity, I have the tools. I'm in this like new age of like information where I have access to tools and to healing in ways that perhaps was not accessible to them. Why not take that path, right? And like create a legacy of abundance instead of the legacy of pain that was there before. Mm-hmm. So most cycle breakers are people that feel that urgency and that almost kind of like internal pressure to shift.
I know. I feel the exact same way. People say to me sometimes, because I'm often sharing of breaking these cycles in the lineage, that's so brave of you. How did you come up with that courage? And I always say, I did not choose this. I didn't even want it. And it has not necessarily been a courageous choice. It's just been the only option for me. And of course, it takes bravery to explore it and dive into it. But it's hard. It's hard work.
It is. One of the things that I find to be sometimes pretty common for most cycle breakers is that they feel like the journey can feel very lonely because they are saying things or doing things so differently than what they've seen growing up and what they've seen around them that it almost kind of creates a distance between them and the people that they love or the people that are around them in a way that wasn't anticipated. And so now they have to walk this path that feels very lonely and like they're alone in it because they are the ones that are doing the hard work while everybody else around them is kind of still maintaining the cycles. And that's something that, you know, very often tends to also bring people into a place where they're like, you know what, forget it. I don't want to break these cycles because I don't want to feel lonely. I'd rather just go back into the spaces that feel familiar, even if they're unhealthy, even if they're toxic, because at least I have the comfort of familiarity. And that, you know, tends to keep us in cycles. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, people are, you know, they say, I actually know.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Even if you have to learn over and over and kind of dip your toes back into that toxic cycle and then come back, it's what you got to do when you feel it in your heart.
Yeah.
So what are some of the ways or tips that you would give people to even just begin that process?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, the journey sometimes feels like it's been chosen for you. And what that means is that you are walking this path and you're walking with all of the tension that this path is producing for you. And that tension can actually make you feel really heavy and make the path less tolerable. So what I always urge all cycle breakers to do, what I've done myself, what I've worked with my clients with and my family with, has always been to first settle ourselves and settle our nervous system. Because the work can be so heavy. And when you start digging into the roots of your intergenerational family tree, you start digging into a lot of things that are going to feel very emotionally overwhelming. So if you don't actually have a protocol and a process for actually regrounding yourself and bringing yourself back into a state of feeling calm, then it's going to be really hard work and you may spiral downward rather than spiraling upward, which is what we want, right? So my work always starts with the nervous system. And it even starts with the nervous system like for a long period of time before we even get to the digging work.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that look like? That speaks to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm working on nervous system healing. And just a very random side note is that my husband just did a plant medicine journey this weekend with ayahuasca. And he was just getting messages from the divine, just kind of writing it all down. And he wrote down, Jordan, me, needs to heal the nervous system. And he came home and showed it to me. And he's like, you know, I didn't write this. Like, I wrote this, but you know that this didn't come from my brain because I don't even talk that way. And so I'm taking that as a message from the medicine, from the universe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It is powerful. And it's so necessary. So I'm really glad that he's like the vehicle to deliver that message, right? Because I am sure that he's a very trusted voice in your
totally.
Life. Yeah.
He's wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that sounds so beautiful. I'm just really taking all of that in. I got chills when you said that.
Yeah, it was cool.
And the nervous system restoration process is one that is, first and foremost, it requires like a lot of repetition. And the reason being is because, like, we have to think about, we've been stuck in bodies that are ancient and old and, like, have so many histories living within it. It is even said that at any given point in time, we're carrying up to 7 generations of histories mm-hmm. in our DNA, in our bodies, right? Like in our cellular memory.
Totally.
And so, of course, it's going to take a number of repetitions to actually like restructure our nervous system and get it into a state of balance. Now, the practices themselves are really accessible, I think, because the very first and most effective way that we can settle our nervous system is through deep breathing. And we, you know, luckily have popularized deep breathing so much in our society currently that we all know that the breath is a tool and that it's there for us. But what we don't know very often is the fact that we need at least 5 minutes of deep breathing per day in order to really help our nervous system register, oh, we're trying to settle. We're going into a parasympathetic response. We're going into rest and recovery. The nervous system needs the cues for mm-hmm. those 5 minutes, not take a deep breath and that's it. It's take 5 minutes of deep breaths mm. and reorient the ways that your nervous system is capturing the moment.
Wow. So can that be any type of breath, or do you have like an exercise that you recommend?
I typically just lean on letting someone decide because everybody is so different. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, body is different, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so some of us can actually capture the box breath and just do 4-4-4-4. And that feels, you know, like settling. Other people, you know, and I'm also taking into consideration that some of us have lungs that have different capacities. And so I always leave it to everyone. But for me, the way that I do it is an inhale of 5 seconds and a release of 7. I find that that cadence tends to work really well with really settling the nervous system, even in a more like, in a kind of faster way. Mm-hmm. But of course, we have so billions of bodies in this world. So I always like lean on work with, you know, the way your body tells you to work with it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm already breathing differently. And I bet
that
a lot of people listening are. I mean, I need that reminder because I'm like, I mean, I'm all air, like I was saying, but I'm also just like kind of wound up all the time. So when I see someone like you who's so grounded, so present in their body, I'm always thinking like it would take me an hour of meditation to get into that space, which is kind of an exaggeration, but also not really, because I just am so used to just moving fast through life.
You want to know something interesting? Mm-hmm. I started this practice of meditating, I would say about 8 years ago. And I started actually with 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I do 90.
Oh, wow.
So when you say an hour is probably an exaggeration, mm-hmm. it actually
no,
isn't.
No, it's really not. No. And I'm with you. Like, I'm a big meditator. I didn't do it today, which I can, like, feel. I feel the coffee. I feel the lack of meditating. And that's all the nervous system. What type of meditation do you do?
Oh, my goodness. I have a full repertoire, but mm-hmm. I actually start the day with sound bath meditation,
ooh.
Which is my preferred way of settling my body at mm-hmm. the top of my day. And I end my day with progressive muscle relaxation into a meditative practice. So, you know, I would do like a guided meditation and then I transition into some deep breaths and then the reason why I do progressive muscle relaxation, which for anyone who's listening and doesn't know, is like when we tense our muscles and then release the tension, and it actually helps us to release the tension that we've absorbed throughout the day, I find that I sleep way better.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually settles me so, so well after a full day of like having so much happening.
Oh, I have to try that. And then what are some other ways of working with the nervous system? After somebody has the breath down and the breathing, what's the next step?
I'll tell you about my two favorites that I tend to incorporate very often, even in my own practice. One is humming.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why humming is a nervous system restorative practice is because it actually helps us to stimulate our vagus nerve, which is the nerve in our nervous system that is mostly implicated in rest and recovery. And so when we hum, especially if we hum a low hum, it actually starts to stimulate that nerve directly and it helps us to feel more relaxed. so humming. Mm-hmm. And if you think about humming, like some people like in our lives, you know, at least like the idea of like, you know, the grandmother that rocked you to sleep and like hummed you a song, like it makes a lot of sense that that humming tune would actually soothe the baby. Mm-hmm. And babies go to sleep this way, right? And so I feel like some of us have already had that wisdom. We just didn't have the science behind it. And so there is, it's almost kind of like we're bringing that ancient wisdom back, mapping it with the science so that we can know that it's a tool that we can use for our nervous system. And so the next one is the one that goes with humming, which is rocking. Rocking is also known to be a nervous system regulation practice that is really effective. And, you know, I always like found it really fascinating how individuals that have neurodivergence that are on the autism spectrum, actually some individuals tend to rock themselves. And what we've known about that rocking sequence is that it's actually a self-soothing mechanism and actually helps them to feel calmer. And so there is like this intuitive sense and this intuitive knowledge that individuals that do that rocking just, you know, by way of like their own like way of orienting themselves around a more calmer state, that they knew that that was something that could be functional. But the rest of us, we just don't have that knowledge. So mm-hmm. rocking and humming is like something that's really effective, really useful, and mostly accessible. Like any one of us can, you know, sway from side to side. Any one of us can do some breathing. Any one of us can do some humming if we have that capacity. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we have the tools right there.
Yeah. I love that so much. I heard someone say, because I'm always humming, always. Like, it's not a conscious thing. I'm just, like, singing, humming, like, all throughout my house. And someone said to me once, I know that you're a happy person because you're always humming. And it's, I don't know if that's true, but it's always stuck with me. Like, it's kind of also this symbol of happiness. It feels good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does feel good. Like, your body really registers that you're trying to make it feel at ease. Mm-hmm. And that at ease feeling is, in my opinion, is the real baseline of joy. I think real joy is when we're at peace.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think you guys are well aware that I am a big believer that small and easy changes can have big results. And that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, there is so much out there and it's confusing on what products work together and in what order. So I'm going to make it super easy for you. The Works system from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable and it actually works, which is obviously the best part. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient so that you can use their products daily with confidence. They didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. So I wanted to take the guesswork out of my routine because I am a busy mom with so much going on. So I started with their Works collection. I don't have to remember the order of any sort of crazy 10-step routine. No one has time for that. The Works system is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. I love it. Plus, their best-selling TBT Retinol Alternative Cream has just restocked, and you've got to check that out too. It has all the amazing benefits of retinol without the terrible side effects. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. If you haven't checked out Dime, where have you been? Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount on the site. That's dimebeautyco.com, dimebeautyco.com. Have you listened to my episode last week with Ashley Nicholson of BTR Nation? Because it is one of my new favorites. We channeled her parents who have passed on, but we also talked so much about her incredible product, BTR Nation. BTR Nation is on a mission to help fix our broken food system one snack at a time. When the founder, Ashley, lost both her parents to hard battles with cancer, and after spending years in hospitals eating junk out of vending machines, she knew that she could do better. And that's why BTR Nation exists. They pride themselves on offering low sugar, simple ingredient options. No sugar, alcohol, stevia, seed oils, gluten, dairy, not even natural flavors. BTR Nation makes superfood snack bars and nut butter cups, all on-the-go snacks to satisfy you from AM to PM. Plus, each flavor is boosted with good-for-you antioxidant-rich, nutrient-dense superfoods like maca, chaga, and reishi. I'm so obsessed, and I know that you guys will be too. I have been loving their chocolate. I have a little piece every single day. It's not just better for you. They also are doing it all. 1% of sales is donated to organizations committed to cancer research, holistic healing, and advocacy. BTR stands for Be Bold, Tenacious, and Resilient, the founder's family mantra. Exclusively for our TBB listeners, use the code BALANCED for 20% off site-wide and free shipping at btrnation.com.
Okay, so once somebody is like breathing and soothing themselves, would you then feel comfortable taking them into like reprocessing some trauma, obviously, depending on the situation?
Yes. So the reason why I introduced some of those nervous system practices first is because first I want them to have an opportunity to understand, how do I get back into calm if things start feeling more overwhelming than what I bargained for? And so there's that. And then the other thing is that I also want for them to integrate that practice into their daily lives, because it's not just a practice that we do in a reactionary way, like, oh, I don't feel good, let me go hum. Oh, I don't feel good, let me breathe. I actually believe that these practices should be lifestyle practices. They should be incorporated into our day-to-day so that we can almost kind of tilt the scale and like create that balance. And so once that's in place and a person already knows, okay, I know how to come back into a regulated state, then we can start doing the digging work. But we don't just dig, we dig and we pair that with relaxation. Because when we start digging and we say, okay, let me look at this leaf in the family tree and this person that had this trauma response that was like really unhealthy and created a lot of harm, that can actually open up wounds that feel probably like they're very much felt in the body. And so what we want to do is that we want to open up some of that and then say, and let's breathe into it and let's hum and let's rock and let's do all the things that we know are going to be really essential to pair this practice of digging with a relaxation practice so that you can feel like the work is tolerable and you don't feel a need to escape the work and avoid and close the book and
dissociate.
Not show up to your next session, right? Like all of those things.
Wow, that's really powerful. That's incredible. Okay, so on the note of childhood trauma, I last year uncovered all of these unconscious, completely repressed memories from childhood. And this happened through ketamine therapy and completely rocked my world. At first, I thought, this is okay. I'm uncovering this in a safe space with this amazing therapist who I love. I feel good. But as the weeks went on and I knew that this childhood trauma took place, my body knew before my mind that something was really wrong. And I started to wake up every single day with panic attacks. I was having 24/7 panic attacks for 7 months. What are your thoughts? What are your tips and suggestions for anybody who's been in a similar place?
Yeah, I really feel for you for having such an extended, you know, way of your body telling you everything is not feeling okay, right? That can be so unsettling. And it's like, you know, it can really spiral because sometimes when we're in that 24/7 panic, it also seeps into our resting state. Like when we're sleeping, we wake up in panic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was happening.
You it
know,
was.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't look forward to waking up because it was instantaneous.
Yes, yes. And that is incredibly, incredibly common for individuals that have a traumatic past that resurfaces. And the most important thing for any of us to do in those moments when there's high intensity is to go back into regulation, to re-regulate time and again. And, you know, one of the experiences that I've had that has been most profoundly, and, you know, I practice a lot of the things that I do. I also do them for myself because I want to feel healed as well, mm-hmm. right? So I once did a sound bathing meditation in the water. And it was one of the most soothing, calming experiences that I've ever had that actually helped me to feel like some of that experience of trauma was almost leaving my body. Mm-hmm. And that immersive experience is something that I think we all need, right? Like, for example, with cold water plunges, that being like something that's also been very popularized mm-hmm. lately, our bodies actually produce endorphins and like create this hormonal balance in the direction of health. Right. And so it's almost like we're in essence like flooded with the good hormones. And so like in part, some of what I think can be most helpful in those moments where we're flooded with the upsurge of uncomfortable emotions is to then almost kind of flood our bodies with the good stuff. Like we need to balance. Mm-hmm. We need to bring in like an intense, like, you know, kind of like armor of like all the nervous system mm-hmm. tools that we have in the arsenal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A sound bath in water. Oh my God.
Yeah.
How do we recreate this? Like, can anyone just do that at home?
Well, you know, this is like a practitioner that has like a number of years of training, mm-hmm. but what we can do in the water is that we can offer ourselves an opportunity for meditation. I also float in the water to meditate and just stay there for a good amount of time, like 30 minutes, just floating and meditating and allowing for the sound of water to just like be almost kind of my guide. And that's something that we can all do. And sound baths are something that we can all do, like because we can listen to sound baths or we can go to a mm-hmm. sound bath meditation. And the even the word itself, bath, sound bath, like you're being bathed in sound. These micro currents and micro frequencies are actually energizing your body in the direction of health. And they're like almost kind of shaking your body back into balance. So there is a bathing element there. There's mm-hmm. almost kind of like a healthy flooding there. So it's like in all of those practices that tend to have like this very powerful experience that I tend to centralize like the work. That's where I think that we can have the greatest benefit when we're feeling the flooding of the emotions. And then after that flooding has subsided and the emotions feel more tolerable, manageable, and we have more of the ability to find regulation and rest in our nervous system more often than not, then we can go and transition into, okay, let's talk a little bit more about what happened. Mm. Just a little bit, mm-hmm. just enough.
Wow. And you see people like come all the way to the other side very yeah. often and yeah. feel healed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The people that, I mean, I don't work with children anymore, but the people that have been, for me, it just has stayed in my brain. Like the beautiful transition from pain into like just being a light has been kids. Mm-hmm. Like kids, and my work was mostly with teenagers, but when I worked with families and I saw the ways that now families could connect, like a parent could connect to their teenager because a teenager was actually surfacing from the overwhelming traumatic experiences and actually like being more like their true, honest self that was the core self that was beneath all of that trauma. That to me is like, that has been the best gift, like mm-hmm. as a therapist to
yeah,
see that.
That's amazing. Wow. And do you do this in your own life? You use these tools to work with your own trauma and that kind of stuff?
I do. I believe that the best therapists are the ones that can be honest about how they need to integrate this work into mm-hmm. their own lives. Because when I sit with someone, I can sit with them being so mindfully present, because I have been able to carve out some of what would have distracted me from being present with them. Mm-hmm. I have done so much of the work to ensure that when someone is pouring out their life history, that I can carry that with them because I'm not preoccupied with my own pain. And in addition to that, I want to feel healed. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like we all deserve that. And I want that for my family too.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like my parents, they have impressed me a lot lately, because it's taken a very long time, mm-hmm. as it would be, you know, with people that have 6-7 decades of, mm-hmm. you know, their own way of being. But you know, my mom said these beautiful words to me the other day. She said, "I'm in my era of peace."
Wow.
And it was something that I feel like, thank you, like, universe, for giving me that gift of hearing my mother say that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, it's because I have, myself being a cycle breaker as well, I've been willing to bring that back home. Mm-hmm. Bring the work home and say, y'all, I think we need to do things differently, because I'm learning things mm-hmm. and I think they can be beneficial to us too. And I got a lot of resistance, because that's what happens when things are status quo and people are like, no, this is the way it's always been. Like, why would we change things? Yeah. You will get resistance as a cycle breaker, but you also get these beautiful gifts of like hearing these random things that people say when they're breaking cycles, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's amazing that they are coming around to doing that healing. And that's my main goal with my parents as well, both of them really, but specifically my dad, because I just feel he needs it. They both do, but he's been more resistant. Now he's 77, and they do more of his work, because this is my life, is self-improvement and self-care and healing and being a pattern breaker, of course, that's my life. And they've learned a lot, but it is amazing to hear the stories from when they were kids and things that they're still carrying. And it just gives you so much compassion for everyone.
I'd love to hear that, mm-hmm. because we lose sight of the fact that there were inner children in them, and that the inner child wounds that don't get resolved in one generation risk being passed down.
Yeah.
We don't realize that. We think of inner child wounds as like a singular person thing. My childhood was adverse. I developed an inner child wound and that's it. Actually, we have parents that have inner child wounds that then manifested into their adult lives as, we call it in general terms, like emotional immaturity. But really what I think it is an inability to really sit with difficult emotions, and then just using your environment to try and regulate. And so who's in the environment? Their children, mm-hmm. right? Most often than not. And so children are usually targets of regulation, you know, whether their parents yelling at them or if their parents using the child to self-soothe, right? Like all these things that are like in the bucket of emotional immaturity. But really what it is a reflection of an inner child wound that never got resolved. Mm-hmm. So what then happens that this little human is absorbing all of the ways that their parent has not been able to break the cycle. And they're also like, it's being modeled for them that a wound is present. And so all of that is being absorbed into yet another generation.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's so important to break those cycles.
Yeah, and it's critical.
Totally. Okay, so a couple questions. What are your thoughts on anxiety medication or antidepressants?
Well, you know, because I worked in a hospital system, and that means that I also worked as someone who saw a lot of crises, I do believe that they have some utility, particularly in the short term. So I am of the camp of, I love holistic practices that have sustained effect. What I have seen with a lot of medications is that they usually are what I call like a Band-Aid medication, right? Like they offer the Band-Aid to help the wound to heal better and not be exposed to the elements, right? Mm-hmm. And so usually an anti-anxiety medication can help you to get through the tough moments, but what's necessary is learning the skills to manage anxiety so that in a few years, hopefully you won't need the medication because you already have the tools that you need and your anxiety has diminished significantly enough for you to be able to function well. Like we all have anxiety. There's anxiety is just a part of life, right? But debilitating anxiety is, it can be very hindering. So if you can have something that can help you in the process while you get to the tools, incorporate and integrate the tools, default to the tools, and then hopefully you won't need the medication, mm-hmm. then I feel like that's the best recipe.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. Because I did start taking a medication when all of this was happening, and it has been incredible the way that it has impacted my life. And I'm super holistic. Like, I wouldn't even take Advil previously to this, but I see it the way you do. I mean, a Band-Aid, and it has been a wonderful Band-Aid, and I will keep using it for
now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like why suffer, right? Like, mm-hmm. and also we have to think about both depression and anxiety. When it is entirely too crippling or it feels too intolerable, we are not going to be able to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Totally. Literally
our bodies can't learn while they're in that level of distress. Because our bodies are in survival. And so when we're in survival mode, we cannot integrate lessons, like integrate whatever happened in therapy that was like an insight moment that you need to now bring back into your life. You're not gonna really be able to do that in a way that sticks, because literally your brain is not actually processing at the same level as it would should you not be in survival
mm-hmm.
mode. Because when our brains are in survival mode, a lot of like our cortical brain, which is the front part of our brain, which is what we use to like be problem solvers or to like, you know, be creative and like all these things, like those areas are not functioning in the ways that they typically would should we not be in survival mode. So even if we go to the science and lean on the science, like it also tells us like this is not the best recipe for actually learning how to not feel anxious. So we need to actually get a person into a place, even with medication, where someone feels, okay, things feel tolerable. Now I can learn.
And what are your thoughts on plant medicine, which I've brought up a few times because it's been a huge part of my path. And it's what introduced me to the intergenerational healing, the lineage, and how we really do hold on to things from seven generations past that we can heal to seven generations forward. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a powerful healing agent that allows us an opportunity to tap into part of our mind-body-spirit insight that our psychological defenses won't let us mm-hmm. get to otherwise. I actually am one of the instructors in this international institute, actually, that has a training program for practitioners who are hoping to train in the area of plant medicine. And I am the instructor in the area of intergenerational trauma. So,
cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
it's so tied and so linked.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so, you know, I that alone would tell you like how much of a proponent I am for mm-hmm. the ways in which, you know, plant medicine offers us insight to the soul that are really necessary for us to feel liberated from the mm-hmm. pain that our soul is capturing. And also, you know, one thing that I find to be really critical in any kind of variation of plant medicine is how are we integrating it into our lives, and who is the person that's guiding us through it? I feel like guides are really essential, like whether it's a healer, a therapist, like who is the person that is there in place to help you to navigate that tough terrain?
because we have to think about the immense vulnerability that plant medicine brings. Like, you are literally open, like so open.
Oh, yeah.
And so whoever is there offering the guide and helping you to navigate wherever your consciousness is going or subconscious is going, that I feel like needs to be someone that we vet very closely, that we feel really safe around, and that we feel can carry our wounds. So that to me is like probably a like something that we don't think about as much with plant medicine, because we think of the medicine itself
mm-hmm.
rather than, well, who's administering or who is facilitating the you know, the process of the subconscious. That part I think is really critical.
It is. It is. Oh, and I've had experiences both ways with wonderful, wonderful healers and shamans and therapists, and the other way too, where it's just been, it's created a lot more trauma to go through that experience and to not receive or to not really be held and guided in the way that my soul needed to. And have you had any experiences yourself with plant medicine?
Yeah. You know, actually in my book, I aim to be like very like general about plant medicine. So I call them botanicals and mm-hmm. I talk about tea, and tea itself, I mean, like even when you think about some plant medicines, it's absorbed as tea. I don't know if that's the way that you've absorbed
yeah.
yours.
But oh yeah. With,
yeah. It's
with ayahuasca.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hot water, right? And mm-hmm. then, you know, and then the plant medicine, and it's sipped as tea, for those who aren't familiar. And the same with all other compounds of teas. There are so many that help us to feel calm, feel regulated, feel at ease. I've gone the full gamut of all kinds of teas, whether they're in the, you know, I think they're all plant medicine, right? But across the board. And so I've had so many experiences that have been like very enlightening, but also calming. And that's why I drink tea like 3-4 times a day.
Mm-hmm. You're drinking tea now.
I am drinking tea now. Any chance I get to drink tea, because I'm a real believer in herbs as a way of life, like really introducing Earth's beauty and properties and gifts into our bodies, because that's in essence the way that we were created to be in communion with Earth.
Yes.
And so when, you know, plant medicine that is in the psychedelic realm is introduced, like I was very open to it, because both on a personal and professional level, because it makes a lot of sense for us to actually lean back onto ancient wisdom like that is presented through ayahuasca and other, you know, psychedelic medicine, that and lean into the ways in which for ages the human population has been utilizing Earth to actually deepen the conscious understanding mm-hmm. of who we are. So I'm a big proponent of it.
Yeah, I feel very similarly. I want to ask you a couple of the rapid fire questions that I ask everyone who comes on. We already talked about your sun, moon, and rising signs. Do you know what your human design is?
I actually don't.
You don't?
No.
Do you know your birth time?
3:06 p.m.
Okay, so I'll put it in the intro. My audience is totally laughing because we do this with everybody. If they don't know, I'm like, we're going to look it up. I'm going to tell you what it is. It'll be fun.
I'm like, actually.
Yeah, it's fun. And then if you could be in a room with three people, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, wow. Nina Simone, her voice is butter. It's like pure soul food. I don't know if it counts, but my sister is like my person.
Oh, it totally counts. Yeah.
She's like, and I dedicate the book to her because she's really the cycle breaker in our family.
Wow.
Yeah, she started the process. I was just little sister who copied everything she did. And I was like, she's breaking cycles, so I'm doing it too.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And a third person, I'm going to make a bit of a mythical person. I would love a person that is like 100 years into the future. I would love to talk to them.
Oh, yeah. That would be so fascinating. Mm-hmm. I have so many questions for about 100 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like, how is Earth doing?
Yeah, seriously. Are we living on another planet?
Right.
What's going on?
Do we destroy Mother Earth?
Yeah.
And, give us the insight. How can we make it better mm-hmm. so that we don't actually get there?
Yeah, that would be amazing. And who are your mentors?
I have wonderful, wonderful people that used to be my supervisors at the medical center, Dr. Diana Puñales Morejon and Dr. Santos Vales, who literally have adopted me as like a child of theirs or a sister or whatever, like, but a family member. And they are, I just love those people. Like, they're friends now. They're like forever friends and they're family. Mm-hmm. So they're my close, close mentors.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And where can everyone find you?
Well, everyone can find me on my website, drmariellebouquet.com. And there you'll see my book, Break the Cycle. That's on pre-order now, but it will be out January 2nd. of 2024, and anything that I'm up to in the social media landscape is usually at dr.mariellebouquet.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was incredible.
It sure was. Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Blonde and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.